Good to know at least one person wants to listen to me this morning. Hey. Okay. Well, and welcome to my 5:30 this morning. So, let's just pray, and we'll get started. Father, we just pray, especially for the Sunday school teachers now, Lord, and just for them as they teach and us as we open your word. We thank you for the truth that is in it. We pray that we'd understand this truth and that it would ground us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Okay, good. So some of you know that when I say good morning to the church, I'm not saying good morning to the building, right? The church is us, isn't it? And this morning we're continuing kind of a look at the church. And today it's the church, the membership and responsibility. So who is the church? What is the church? These are things that we could spend, a whole month, a whole year looking at, and we're going to spend 30, 35 minutes looking at. So we're not going to go into everything, but in my preparation, I thought we'll just choose one passage. So if you have a Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2. And 1 Peter chapter 2, when I read it, I realized that maybe actually my Sunday school teacher was wrong. Because I was taught, as I just said, that the church isn't a building. And yet what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 is that the church is a building. But it's not this building. It's not a physical building. It's a building made up of people who believe in Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about that the church is a spiritual house built up of living stones on the foundation of Jesus Christ as its cornerstone, the foundation. So let's look 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read starting from verse 4. It says this, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and the stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they are destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so in this passage, Peter is writing to the church, and he's telling them who you are and what makes you the church. He's telling them this is what it's about. And of course, Christianity, church, is all about Jesus. I love how he uses a few quotes from the Old Testament, saying that even in the Old Testament, God, through his prophets, saying, there's going to be one person who's going to come, the Messiah, Jesus, and he's going to be the one that either people are going to trip over, it's going to become a stumbling block in their lives, it's going to be a stumbling block towards them coming to God, or it's going to be the foundation upon which they have a relationship with God. And that is still true today as it was when this book was written, when Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago. And it's as true as it was even 1,500 years earlier when the prophets gave these prophecies. That ultimately Christianity, the church, is about Jesus. He's our foundation. He's the one we believe in. I've often said that one of the ways I approach ministry when I work with international students is from 1 Corinthians 15, where where he says here, I delivered to you first of all what is of first importance. And then he goes on to talk about who Jesus is. And this is the image we get of the church here in 2 Peter, that the capstone or the cornerstone, or one way we can understand that is almost the foundation, is Jesus. And everything that is part of the church is going to be built on Jesus. It's going to have its resting place on the person of Jesus. And so this church, it says here, is a spiritual house made up of living stones, of people who have come to Jesus and trust Him and believe in Him as their cornerstone, as their foundation on which their faith is built and aligned to. And so the first question I want to kind of answer today is, who is a part of the church? When we talk about a church, who is a part of the church? I think one of the ways it gets answered in this passage is, as it says in verse 4, it says, as you come to Him. And I want to say this, that anyone who has come to Jesus and trusted in Jesus and put their faith into Jesus is a part of God's church. Those who have come to Jesus, it says, as you come to Him, you become a part of the spiritual house that God has built upon the person of Jesus Christ. And I think we can talk about that in terms of, we often call this the universal church. It's the church to which every single person in all through time who has believed in Jesus belongs to. You know, this book of 1 Peter, if you read it at the beginning, it's addressed to people. It says, in 1 Peter 1, it says, he's writing this to strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so Peter is writing this book to the Christians who have been scattered through these five Roman provinces. And he's saying, you know, even though you're over in that province and you're over there and you're over there, you all belong to one church, the same church that is based and built on Jesus Christ. You know, I think this would have carried even more meaning to these people. Here, he's addressed the book of Peter to the people who are scattered. We know through history that the early Christians, in particular, were persecuted. They were scattered. They had to run for their lives. And yet, now Peter is writing to these people and saying, even though you've been scattered, remember, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening, your foundation is just as sure because you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I think there are hundreds, thousands, millions of Christians today that are experiencing that same truth in their lives. You know, here in North America, right now, Hurricane Irma is just devastating the people. You know, if you've seen some of the pictures, you know, people have had to run. They say it looks like an atomic bomb has gone off. And yet, I don't want to make light of the travesty that's happening, but I know that the Bible says that those people, even those who have been displaced from their homes, they can know that, you know what, there's something sure in my life, and that's Jesus. And He has a part to play. If we look through the Middle East and all that's going on there and all the refugees, many of them are Christians. And even as they are scattered and moved throughout this world, they have that foundation that cannot be moved, and that's Jesus. And you know, us today in our lives, and that's the hope that we have. You know, most of us have a home, we have a place that we belong, but you know, things come up in life, whether it's the loss of loved ones, maybe it's the loss of a job, whatever we go through in life, we can have that one sure foundation in Jesus. That is what He offers to us. And so, Jesus is the foundation of the church. The people who belong to the church are the ones who have come and trusted in Jesus as a living stone. And it says, Christ is the cornerstone. You know, it's fitting that the way that Peter describes Jesus is as the cornerstone. If you go in your Bibles and flip back to Matthew chapter 16, we get a scene where during Jesus' ministry, people were asking, who is Jesus? And of course, this is the most important question. is, who is Jesus? I remember in my life, about 10 years ago, I decided there's two important questions that I need to answer in my life. And they're the two questions that Paul asked Jesus on the road to Damascus. He says, who are you, Lord? And what would you have me do? I think these are the most important questions we can ask in life is, who is Jesus and what does he want us to do? What's his will for me in my life? They're questions that I encourage you to ask. Who are you, Jesus? What would you have me do? But Jesus asked his disciples this. He says, when Jesus came to the region, this is Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. On this rock I will build my church. What was the rock that Jesus was referring to? What we believe is that he was referring to that rock of the claim that Peter had just made of, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of God. That confession of faith in Jesus is the rock on which the church is built. And that's what we're seeing in First Peter here too. Peter is what Jesus told him. He is now expounding to the church of saying, look, the rock on which the church is built is Jesus and who he is. And you belong to the church when you trust in that rock, when you trust in Jesus. You know, this fall is the 500th anniversary of a monumental event known as the Reformation, when Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses against the church. And one of the things was simply this: the belief that the church is founded on Jesus and his authority, on Scripture and its authority, not on humans and their authority. And that's what we come to here as Parkhurst. That's what we believe as a church, that we gather to the name of Jesus. And you know, as I've been saying that, universally, whether you are from Shanghai or Singapore or Smithers, BC, or Sierra Leone, or another place, Sydney, Australia, other places that start with S, no matter where you are from in this world, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you are part of Jesus' church. But there's also a local church that the Bible talks about, where Christians come together and have a place that we call a local church. That's what Parkhurst is. It's a local church. And it's kind of based on the same idea. In the same way that you are part of God's universal church when you trust in Jesus, when you, as it says there, as you come to him, when you come to Jesus, you become a part of his church when you believe and trust in him. In the same way, a church is a local church when we come together in the name of Jesus. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so here at Parkhurst, we welcome you to come with us in the name of Jesus, to gather with us in the name of Jesus. You know, there's several of us here at the church, and we support the Whitecaps, the Vancouver soccer team. But you know, when the six of us go to that game, that's not a church meeting, because we're not, even though we're all Christians, we're not coming together in the name of Jesus. We're coming together, you know, in the name of fun and hanging out and Whitecaps. And although maybe more prayer happens there for our team, you know, please help, you know. No, that's not the church. The church is when we come together in the name of Jesus. And so that's what Parkrest is about, gathering in the name of Jesus. That's who we teach about. That's who we preach about. And those who are part of our church are those who are Christians, who believed in Jesus. One kind of very, very side note, and this is just a request for prayer from all of you guys, is that we are here, we're Christians, and we live in Canada. And Canada has given us many freedoms, religious freedoms, for which we are very thankful. In fact, Canada has given very many benefits to those who are Christians or other religions at all, as well. And one of the things that we do at Parkrest is, as a church operating within Canada, we pay our taxes kind of thing and do that. And one of the things that we need to do here at Parkrest is rewrite our church constitution. Now, this isn't Bible teaching. This is kind of just an aside, but just a request for prayer. Because one of the things that we have to submit to the government is what we have as a criteria of who is a member of Parkrest Bible Chapel and who is not a member of Parkrest Bible Chapel. And so we're caught kind of between a few different realities of a spiritual reality where anyone who's a Christian belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ. And then we're given in Scripture reality that, people would belong to a local church. And there are certain reasons and ways that happened. And then we have kind of a worldly reality where we have to put this in a language that the government of BC will understand. And so I just ask that you pray for us if you're interested about that and what it means to belong here at Parkrest, to be a member here. We want you guys to feel like you belong here. We want Parkrest to be a welcoming place, a place that you belong, and then also have a purpose that you fulfill at church, at Parkrest. You see, one of the things that I noticed as I read through Peter's description of the church is that we come to Jesus, but then something happens. You see, when you come to Jesus and trust in Jesus as your Savior, something happens. You don't stay the same. You know, on one reality, the Bible talks about your sins are forgiven, you receive the Holy Spirit, and then are able to live the Christian life. And we see that kind of written out here as Peter describes the church in 1 Peter 2. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so we see that there's something, it means something to be part of the church. It means something to be part of a local church. And here's what we see. Peter says that when you come to Jesus, God puts you to work. He starts building you. He starts using you in his building project of the church on earth. It says he makes you or he builds you up into the spiritual house. And what that means is that you have a place and a purpose to fulfill in what God is doing here in Burnaby at Parkrest. You have a place and a purpose to fulfill in this church. It's a place and a purpose that is ordained by God, that's been given by God, and he will give you the necessary spiritual gifts in which you need to fulfill that place and purpose. But it also gives us responsibility to then carry out, to be in that place, to do that purpose that God has given us in this local church. And so he's building us up. You know, it's talking about taking a living stone. And if you know anything about stonework and masonry, talk to me because I don't know much. But, you know, I know they take a stone and they chisel it away and they start to form it and they take off bad parts. And at the same time, somehow the good parts, they strengthen and accentuate and make them stand out. And that's the way that God works in our lives, through sanctification, removing the sin in our lives, but also gifting us with his Spirit and the spiritual gifts that come out so that those things which God has given us become a vital part to the church, and that we has a vital place to fit into. And so when we come to Jesus, he begins working in our lives. One of the ways the Bible describes it that is that he conforms us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. God makes us more and more Christ-like. And as he does that, we become, we find our place more and more, better and better within his church. And so I ask you to ask God, what's my place at Parkcrest? What's my purpose here? Lord, what could I be doing here at church? Because you see, we're made into something, and one of those things that we're made into is a royal priesthood. It says we are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood. You know, this is something that goes through all the Bible, all Scripture. Right from Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, where when Israel was coming out of Egypt, God said to them, you are to be a kingdom of priests, a nation of priests. And yes, they had the Levitical priests, but as a nation, they were to be representing God to the world and bringing the world to God. That responsibility is just as much ours today. And Peter kind of twice in this passage reminds them of it. In fact, later on, he says, you weren't a nation, now you are a nation, and now you are also a kingdom of priests. And so we are a royal priesthood. You know, oftentimes when I meet international students, lots of them come from places where either they didn't know any Christians, or what they know of Christianity maybe is just whether it was propaganda or movies or something. And I begin trying to explain to them what I do, and they say, oh, so you're a priest. And what I want to say is, yes, I am, because the Bible says that when I became a Christian, I became a priest serving God. And yet, I always tell them no, because I know what they're actually asking is, are you someone who has to wear a collar and sits in a confessional booth, and I tell you my sins, and you tell them to God? And that's what they're thinking, and that's not what we are. The Bible says we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. I performed a few wedding ceremonies this summer, and at one of them, the father of the bride, he's saying, he's kind of confused, actually, because I was saying, oh, you know, I'm here to perform the ceremony and stuff. He said, but you're married. I said, yes, I'm married. He says, what? And he kind of, and then his wife said, yeah, he's one of those church people. He's like a priest, but he can get married. He's one of those other Christians or something, you know. And so the world has a bit of confusion of what it means to be a priest. But there's a biblical definition that's given that every Christian, because of the standing we have with God through Jesus Christ, can come to God and offer spiritual sacrifices. Romans 12 says that we offer ourselves as a spiritual sacrifice. And we can pray on behalf of other people, supplication. And we have a responsibility as Christians in this world to be a priesthood for this world, reconciling people to God. As it says there later on, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness. And that's where our priesthood lies, is that Jesus is the one high priest, and through him we can have access to God. And so we have place and purpose here at Parkcrest as we build a spiritual house, not a physical house, not a physical building, but a spiritual house. And you know, it's so interesting how Peter uses this spiritual house. When we come together in the name of Jesus, it's building a spiritual house. What do you do in a house? You live in it. And if it's a spiritual house, who is Peter saying that is living there among the people? God himself. God himself among his people. This is one of those grand narratives of Scripture. It's one of those things that you find right in the very first two chapters of the book of Genesis is about God being with his people. There's one way to kind of read and look at Genesis 1 and 2 in which you see that God creates a place and puts in his image bearers, and then he comes and he's walking with them. He's being with his people. That is what God desires, is to be with his people. And of course, sin has separated us from God, but then we see all through the story of Israel, what happens? Once they finally become a nation and come out of Egypt, what are they given? The tabernacle, to remind them that God is with them in their presence. And then they come and they form the nation of Israel and they get their land. And what do? They build a temple because God is with his people. He's there with them. And now Peter and Paul in the New Testament says that today we are the church. And what does it say that we are in Corinthians? The temple of God. And I believe if you read through the book of Corinthians that it's both an individual truth, that individually you are the temple of the living God. His spirit resides within you. But also I think that teaching is towards a local church and saying you collectively are the temple of God. He's living there. He's among you. And that's the truth that we have today, is that God, thank you, is among us. God is with us here at Parkrest. It's a pretty awesome thought. And of course, it goes all the way through to the end in Revelation. And one of the things I love in the book of Revelation is when it comes to John, he's having the vision of the new heaven and the new earth. And what's one of the things he says? If you're at teens camp, you would have heard this. As John gets a vision of heaven and the new Jerusalem, instead of just saying, oh, I saw this, he notices that something's missing. He says, he gets up there, he looks at it, he says, there's no temple. There's no temple. Because God is with his people. And his people are with him. There's no need for the temple anymore in heaven. And so this is the story that we see all through creation, is God wanting to be with his people. When we come to him, we can be with God. And that's what we have to look forward to, is being with God. But the best thing is, we can experience it here and now. The presence of God in our lives, not just as individuals, but as members of a local church. And that is what we can experience here at Parkrest, is the living God among us, working among us, living among us, encouraging us, supporting us, working through us in ways that we didn't think were or were possible. And so God is building up his spiritual house based on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And each of us are a part of it. There's a multitude of stones that come to build up the spiritual house. I'm saying that we each have a place and a purpose to fulfill. And part of that is because no one person is the church by themselves. If there's just one stone there, it would be a stone. It wouldn't be a spiritual house. And so we need to come, we come together. And Jesus and God builds us up as a church. And elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about it being like a body with many members. But here, think of it as we are a building and we each have a place to fulfill. And some of us could be the walls, and some of us the roof, and some of us the lighting, and some of us the plumbing. I don't know who that is. But, you know, we all have a place to fulfill and a purpose to fulfill. And so, if as a member, here at Parkrest, you have a place. You belong here. And you have a purpose to do here, to carry out. And so that's what I believe membership of the church is. Membership carries responsibility. You see, when you've come to him, he makes us builds us up into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood. We become something that will be used by God when you come to him. And so church membership has that responsibility. But first and foremost, those who belong to the church are those who have come to Jesus, trusted in Jesus. The cornerstone was more than just a foundation. It was something that everything else was built out of. And so when you've come, and as it says here, the one who has trusted in him, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. If you have trusted in Jesus, the Bible says you will not be put to shame. You'll be vindicated for your faith in Jesus Christ. You will, at some point, you will be proven right, not for your own boast and your glory, but that God will say, "See, you trusted in me and it was worth it." You won't be put to shame for your trusting in of Jesus Christ. And so when you come to Jesus and you base your life on Him, you put your hope for eternal life in Him, you won't be put to shame. And you become a part of something that God is doing in this world. You become a part of something that God is doing here at Parkrest. And you become a part of something that God is doing all around, throughout this universe. Or it's not universe, world. Universe is a bit too far-fetched. And so it starts when we trust in Jesus. Then we become a part of something. And God begins building us up, putting us in place, His place that He has for us, to fulfill the purpose that He has given each one of us. And we need each other because no one of us is the church on our own. No one of us can be the whole house on our own. And so each one of us has a place here at Parkrest. Each one of us has a purpose to fulfill. And part of that purpose, it says, as the royal priesthood is offering spiritual sacrifices to God, living for Him, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, and declaring the praises of Him who brought us out of darkness. And so, you're welcome to Parkrest this morning as a building. And thank you, church, for making this a church and not just a building on Halifax Street. And so you're welcome here. And we hope you find your place here, but also your purpose, because both have been given by God to fulfill His purposes. And so I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask Mark and Sylvia to come up and lead us in one more song, which is Christ Alone, Cornerstone. Just a declaration that what we believe here is that there's no other foundation than Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and then Mark will come up. Father, we just pray that we would find our place here at Parkrest and then fulfill our purpose. I thank you especially for some of the new faces we've seen over the past couple of months, Lord, and just help us fit together, Lord. Understand how we fit together. We pray for the purpose we have here at Parkrest as a local church. Help us know it clearly and live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.